here in Isaiah chapter number 9, and we'll start reading in verse number 1. If you're able to, let's stand as we read the scriptures, all right? Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 1 says this, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did receive grievously afflict, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Now I know Isaiah is speaking to the people of Israel. The people of Israel had strayed from God. People of Israel were heading towards a judgment. But before that, the prophet prophesies, really twofold, but that this nation that was walking in darkness would see a great light. And this nation that was living in the shadow of death, but upon them that light would shine. He was also prophesying about the light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his birth. You can see that in verse number 6. You'll probably hear that verse before this month's over again. But the fact is that when you turn on the news, isn't it amazing how applicable the Bible is every time you turn the page to the life that we live today? After listening to the news all day and watching things and what all has been taking place, this country, this world that we live in, is becoming very fragile. The years of the wickedness of men is growing worse and worse, and the silence of the believer has grown more and more. And those two things is a recipe for disaster. But it's not time to board up the windows. It's not time to build the compound. It's not time to gather up ammunition and food. It is time to pray, to go, and to reap a great harvest. Because guess what? You're still here. I'm still here, and so God has a purpose for us tonight, and I want to look at that tonight. Living in a dark world, the light that we are supposed to be. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you please be with the message and use it for your honor and glory. I thank you for this time spent with you today. I needed that. I rejoice in it, and Lord, I pray you'd help me to share what you shared with me today. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you, and please be seated. Here in this chapter, I want you to see three things real quick with me. Number one, I want you to see a present problem in verse number 2. A present problem. It says the people that walked in darkness. You know, again, we live in a world that is full of darkness today. People are living and walking in darkness. Now, I'm glad tonight, as a saved person, I'm glad that I don't have to walk in darkness tonight. I'm glad that no matter what goes on about me today, no matter what happens in the town, country, and the world that I live in, that I can still walk in the light of God every day of my life. I'm thankful for the day that that light first shined upon me in John chapter number 1, and I realized I needed to be saved. That light, by the way, shines upon every man, the Bible says there in John chapter 1. I'm thankful that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and as 1 John says, I do not walk in darkness, but I am a child of the light, and I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that I can wake up every morning, no matter what goes on around me, and I can still talk to a God in heaven who's in charge of everything. I'm glad that that God is for me. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful that God is for me. If God be for us, who can be against us? And listen to me tonight. God is for every one of you tonight. Isn't that a great thing? I hope this encourages your heart, all right? Because a lot of you look like you need encouraged, all right? Your God is for you. You know, I've had people in the last couple of years, they've called me and said, you know, I'm just so discouraged. I think God is against me. You know, I've never had to tell anybody that God's against them. I never had to tell anybody that. You say, well, haven't they, some people been in sin? I have. But even those in sin, God was not against them. He was for them getting right. He was for them being right. Matter of fact, I love when people say that. They say, well, you don't know what I've done. I know God's just angry and he's against me. And I say, well, the Bible says the goodness of the Lord leads us to repentance. I said, and I always tell people, I told our kids this in high school the other day. I said, you know, stop and think about that. Who's that promised to, the goodness of the Lord, in that verse? It's not to a righteous person, it's to a sinner. They needed to repent. God was being good to a downright sinner, that would bring him to repentance. The reality is this: God is not against any of us. Matter of fact, he's good to every one of us. And I'll even go beyond that and say he's good not only to the saved, but he's good to the lost. He is kind and patient. He's long-suffering towards them. And a lot of the same blessings we enjoy, they enjoy too. Understand? You know, like, some of you think I'm preaching heresy, all right? They do. They live in the same country we live in. They have the same freedoms. They have good jobs. They buy stuff. They go. They have cars and all this stuff. The problem is this: their lifestyle and their choices hinder and limit those blessings that God gives them. Are you following me? I mean, God blessed us. Aren't you thankful for the health to be here tonight? Amen? There's a lot of people living in downright wicked sin that have pretty good health tonight. But their choices will eventually cost them the blessings of God. But God's good, and the reason God's good is because he's for us. Even the lost person tonight that maybe you witnessed to this week, my heart's been burdened all week. Pray for this man. Don't even know his name. We stopped Monday night. We're down in Kentucky on the way to a game. Stopped at a gas station. The Lord said to give this man a track, and I went out and talked to him and able to be somewhat of a witness to him and gave him a track and asked him to read that. And he said, you know, he said, I will. And I had to get back on a bus with all the kids, and we had to sit there about 5 more minutes, and that man read that track. I mean, he sat there. He didn't just look at it and throw it in his pocket. He was reading it and read through the whole thing. I've been praying that God save that man's soul, or a seed was planted or watered or whatever the case may be. But he was very open to the gospel that night. You know, that's our duty. You know, God, I believe God's for me tonight. I think there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. I know that to be true. Amen. But I got news for you. That guy with that bushy long hair sitting there, backpack, wandering down the road, guess what? God's for him too. God wants him to get saved. God wants to pour out his richest blessings upon him too. We live in a very dark world, and I understand that. And the reality is, this dark world, a lot of people are walking in darkness, but that is a result of them rejecting Christ. It's a result of them rejecting the Spirit of God. Even all the way back in Genesis, in the very second verse of the Bible, in this world it was just darkness. Don't you love that verse? But the Spirit of God moved. And when the Spirit of God moved, the darkness was pushed away. Isn't that great? Some of you get a blessing later tonight, all right? All right? That's a great thing. When the Spirit of God moved, the darkness went away. How many of you can testify the same thing in your life? Amen? When the Spirit of God moved, the darkness begins to leave. People reject God. They reject the moving of the Spirit. And that brings darkness upon their life. Look in chapter number 8. We'll go back a little bit and see what was happening here. In chapter 8, verse number 13, says this, Isaiah's preaching to the people: sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, before a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a den and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word? It is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they shall look into the earth and behold trouble, darkness, dimness of anguish. And they shall be driven to darkness. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful tonight that I'm not in darkness tonight. But people who reject God, and this is who Isaiah was preaching to, and unfortunately, a lot of the world that we live in today, they live in darkness, not because God wants them to live in darkness. They live in darkness not because God doesn't love them. They live in darkness not because God's Spirit did not speak to them. They live in darkness because they have kicked God out. They have rejected God. They have rejected His Spirit. And the world is getting more adamant at that. I don't know if you've caught the headlines from the New York paper. Anybody else see that? It says, God can't help this. The main headline. Making fun of people, saying that the people in California win prayers and things. You know, we've gotten to a place where not many people fear God at all. And they live in darkness. And that may be the world that we live in, but I'm thankful I'm not there. And I hope that every one of you can say the same thing tonight. Now, how did they get in that darkness? Real quick, just from these passages of Scripture that we just read in verse 17 and 18, because they rejected the Spirit of God. They rejected that Holy Spirit who speaks to them. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob. I will look for Him. You know what the problem was in this passage of Scripture? Isaiah said it. They don't fear God. I Brother Slee was sick yesterday, and I taught the Bible class for Brother Slee yesterday, and when he's not able to teach, I jump right in a Proverbs lesson. We just working our way through Proverbs slowly. And we're on chapter number 2, where it says that if you seek God, if you seek His commandments, if you search this book as His hid treasures, if you search this book looking as silver, if you cry out for knowledge, if you seek knowledge with all your heart, it says, then you will fear the Lord. And, you know, and I challenged the kids. I said, you know what? A lot of Christians today don't fear the Lord. They don't fear the Lord. And by fear the Lord, I don't mean we're hiding under pews, afraid that God's going to get us. I mean a loving God with all of your heart, Him being the number one priority in your life. He has the preeminence in your life. You have a reverence towards God that He is my God. That is fearing God. And people don't do that anymore. And the reason is, Proverbs chapter 2, because we don't seek Him like we should. We have no desire to grow as Christians. Church houses are going to be filled this coming weekend with believers, and I believe they're going to heaven, who hasn't taken any time this week to read in the Word of God. Who haven't taken the time to say, God, speak to me. Show me your Word. Who hasn't taken the time before they come to the house of God to say, all right, God, show me what you want me to learn today. And we never spend time growing in our personal life. And listen to me, we do not then have a fear of God in our life. Fearing God is keeping Him first. That's what fear of God is. And if we don't have that, then we've made someone else first in our life. It's called self. And that's where we end up. And these people here that Isaiah was preaching to in the world that we live in today, they live in darkness because they've rejected the Spirit of God and God's Word. And unfortunately, they've referred to the wrong spirits in verse number 19. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. They go to really just the world, its culture, its life, its the demonic influence that is there. They go to that. You don't think that's going on in this world today, you need to get your head out of the sand. Just the wickedness that's there, the oppression, the sin, the lust-driven lives. It is all just a result of demonic workings in our flesh just being set free to do what it wants to do, and it's wrong and it's sin. You see the result in verse number 21. They reject the Spirit, and they refer to wrong spirits, and the result is very sure. In verse 21, they shall pass through it, hardly bestead. That word bestead means this, hurt. Been treated ill. You know what happens to a world, now listen to me, you know what happens to a world that rejects God? You know what happens to a world that indulges its flesh? You know what happens to a world that allows a demonic influence upon its life? You know what happens to that world? The people end up hurt and hurting. If you don't think that we're living in that kind of world today, Why don't you go check out any doctor that you want to, how much prescription medicine they have to give to people living in this world today just to cope with life? People are hurting. I'm not saying they're not hurting. They are. But the answer is not medicine. The answer is not sitting with psychiatrists. The answer is get right with God. They're hurting, and they are. They're hungry. They're in verse 21, they're hungry. You see, are people starving? Well, some. But I mean hungry for other things. You know why they indulge their flesh? You know why they're going out and living immorally? You know why they can't put down the bottle? You know why they go back to the drug over and over again? Because their flesh, because their spirit is not fed. Their spirit is not what it should be. It is either lost and in darkness or away from God and living in just, unfortunately, walking in darkness of this world. And their flesh just cries out for something. And they try to mask the real problem by taking all these sins and these vices. They become hot, angry. Shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves. It means get angry. We live in an angry world today. You know, funny is not the right word. Isn't it sad how these verses really describe the world we live in today? A people that are hurting, a people that are hungry, they're looking for something, a people that are angry. A people, it says, fret themselves and curse their king and their God. They hate. Full of hatred. They hate God. They curse God. That's the world we live in. That was a problem then. And that's a problem we have today too. But I am not here tonight to tell you doom and gloom. I know that that may be the status of our country just as it was then. But I want to be just like Isaiah and share some good news. Look at verse number 2. That the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. You know what that dark world that we live in brings to us? A powerful potential. You and I have potential to be a great opportunity and a great witness in this world that we live in today. The opportunity is here for us. We have an opportunity to be a light to this dark world. Psalm chapter 89, verse number 15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse number 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You and I are to be a light in this dark world. Amen. You and I are to shine as lights in this dark world. You and I, listen, we have a great opportunity right now, to be honest, maybe more than we've ever had before, to be a witness to this lost world. I know some are hurting, some are angry, some are hungry, some are hateful. But at the same time, understand the reason they are that way. It's because they need the Lord Jesus Christ. And when people treat us wrong, we heard a couple testimonies tonight of people who did not want to hear. You know what? The reality is any anger they've shown or any revenge that they try to pull back on someone, understand it's just because they need the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't get upset at them. Don't get angry. Don't become impatient. Keep praying. We have an opportunity now to be a light in this dark world. And I thought about those verses I just quoted to you. That we are to be a light in this world. We are to be in the light of his countenance, as Psalm says. And that we are to share this light of life, Jesus said, as we follow him in this dark world. And when I thought about those two verses, I thought, you know what? I think it's obvious here. You and I on our own, we're not a light on our own. Our hearts are desperately wicked, aren't they? Anybody else's heart desperately wicked in here? All right. Our hearts are desperately. Our flesh is pretty rotten, isn't it? But you know that light, are we to be a light in this world? Absolutely. But But all we are is to allow the Lord to shine through us. And the closer we are to God, the more we will shine in this dark world. That's why, church, it's important that we continue preaching love. Continue preaching that people be reconciled. Continue preaching that we live a holy life. Because we need to be as much like Christ as we can. Because the more we're like Christ, the more that the Lord's love can shine through us. We have a great opportunity. You don't think you have an opportunity to be a witness this weekend? This world, unfortunately, even this country, has a lot to think on right now. There's so much going on in the world today. The refugees, where are they going to end up? So what if they end up over here? Well, you know what the attitude we should have if they end up over here? Well, they're here, let's try to win them to Christ. You ain't gonna change it if they come. You gotta win them to Christ. God may bring someone down your pathway. Don't become like a world that's full of hatred. Don't become like a world that's full of hurt. Don't become like a lost world that's walking in darkness. We ought to be a light. So I don't really particularly care, you know, for certain people. Well, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't feel that way. We are to be a light to everybody. And we have this obligation to share this light. We cannot share the light if we're not living a holy life. We cannot share the light if we're not spending time in the Word of God. We cannot share the light if we're not willing to speak up and tell somebody else about the Lord. We need to be willing. Willing to do these things. Yes, it is a present problem, but what powerful potential there is living in a world today, even the season. Some people, you know, and you, whatever you want to do, I don't ever criticize people. They don't, whatever you don't do or don't want to do, you know, you may totally hate Christmas, you may think it's pagan, you may do whatever you want to, but I know this, you have a great opportunity to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ this time of the year. You have a great opportunity to say, well, you know what everybody's so excited about, and share the Lord Jesus Christ with others. You got to take these opportunities. I guess my whole point with the Lord challenged me and want me to challenge our church tonight is this. It's not time to become scared. It's not time to become nervous. It's not time to start, you know, boarding up the windows. It is time to be a witness. Yes, people are walking in darkness, but I'm thankful that that light is still shining tonight. I'm thankful there in verse number 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath that light shined. God can use us to be that light in the dark world. And then I like verse number 3, and I'll be done. A pleased people. It says that thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. You know what the result is? Yes, people are walking in darkness, but a great light has shined. And you know what the result of this light shining in a people that are living in darkness? They have a great joy. They don't have a joy because they're told to have a joy. That's what verse 3 is saying. They have a joy as someone who's reaping a harvest, as someone who is, you know, just taking a city and has all the spoil. I think the challenge is for you and I tonight. We ought to be able to rejoice and have the joy. And I think a lot of churches don't have the joy of the Lord like they should have because they're just not telling other people like they should be. Did not Paul say this in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 19, what is our hope or joy? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You know what the joy that Paul had was? Knowing that those he had witnessed to and gotten saved were going to be with the Lord someday. I think sometimes we don't have the joy of the Lord like we should because we're not sharing the Lord as we should. The more we share, the more people are going to hear. The more people hear, the more people is going to get saved. And you know what happens when there's people being born? Anytime there's new birth, there's excitement and joy. Let me tell you what'll kill a church. Quit witnessing. quit witnessing, you'll lose your joy. There'll be no growth. But you continue to witness. I know you say, the world's getting kind of scary. Yeah, well, not as bad as it's been in the past, I'll tell you that, all right? We can still walk around, we can still share the gospel. And I'm not saying it's Christians' fault, the state the world's in, it's just part of sin. And but I am saying this, it's shame on us if we're not sharing God as we should. And I know it would make a difference. If God's people in this country got busy sharing the Lord Jesus Christ and that light began to shine as it should, things would change. I'm not saying it would cure the world, because I know that what the Bible says is going to happen. But I believe with all my heart, and I'll stand with it, that as long as God's people are here, people can be saved, and a revival still can take place if we'll just follow God. Let's leave this place tonight shining as lights, letting God use us, because He wants to. I know, verse number 2, people are walking in darkness, but they still can see a great light. Let's shine that light to them tonight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just please take this moment of invitation. Lord, you challenged me today, and I pray that it would challenge another. That, Lord, in this dark world that we live in, that we would shine as lights. Lord, help us to stop by and pick up a few tracks on our way out tonight. God, help us, Lord, to be a witness. Help us, no doubt, God, you have someone in this next week that we could be a witness to. Help us to look for them. God, maybe there's some of your own children tonight who are, even though they're saved, they are walking in some darkness right now. Maybe they're oppressed in depression and darkness. Lord, may they just realize tonight they just need to draw close to you. Have a relationship with you. Talk to you. Listen to you. Get into your word. Search the scriptures like finding treasure. God, that we would have a fear of God in our life.